Welcome to the Pentapod. If you're looking for insights on how to build and deliver digital transformation in your organization, you're in the right place. We can't wait to share the tips, tricks, and opinion from the experts across the industry. So stick around.
Welcome to the Pentapod. In this edition, we're looking at some insight from Tony Howe and Simon Boxall from the team here at Penta Consulting. Do you guys want to say hello and introduce yourselves?
So I'm Tony Howe. I've been with Penta Consulting now for 15 and a half years. I joined the organisation when I was 22 years of age and went through the training programme. Eventually worked my way into an opportunity to be a global account manager and now head up a division which is known as hybrid infrastructure, where we specialise across cloud, virtualisation, storage, as well as networking. So yeah, that's me and that's my role within the organisation today.
Yeah, so my name's Simon Boxall. I've been with the business for coming on to 10 years also. Like Tony, I joined the business when I was 22 as well, came into a sort of perm delivery, then moved from sort of perm delivery into perm sales just across the UK, then moved into sort of the contract market, working across sort of our major accounts teams, delivering into telco and IT, and then moved on to sort of a sales role across the Middle East and finally into my role as head of cybersecurity now, which I've been doing for the last couple of years. So pretty much had every role in the sort of recruitment lifecycle: delivery, sales, account manager, head of an area, and currently, as I said, heading up cybersecurity. So we focus purely on all the cybersecurity solutions, information security, across all different security-based customers across EMEA.
So that's great. Is there anything that you saw from across the year and the clients that you engage with was particularly different, or do you want to share any kind of insight from the clients that you've worked with?
Yeah, I mean, from my side, the one thing that I would say we noticed that was very prominent was how everyone had to be, rather than all of the forward plans for 2020, rather than planning ahead, everyone had to become reactive within their markets, within their customer engagements. So, I mean, if you think that we're heavily involved with a lot of vendors as well as SIs and operators within our space of ICT, everyone pretty much switched to 100% remote working. So, I mean, our duty of care in terms of the service we supply didn't just go from finding the talent, ensuring that the talent's working compliant, being able to support the customer on site. We then had to switch our methodology and our way of thinking into being really sort of socially responsible for the resources' welfare, understanding where they're located. Are they able to work remotely? Is the customer going to be happy for them to work remotely? So everyone pretty much within my space went from being on site to being at home with immediate effect, being able to have VPN access to support customers. So, you know, and I think Simon will probably touch on it. So security had to be ramped up. Virtualization had to be ramped up. The cloud servicing had to be ramped up, because with the amount of users that were then coming on from a remote basis, you then had to have the infrastructure to be able to support that. So the customer demand changed, particularly in my area, on that basis, where all of certain assets had to be given from customers. You know, people had to be on site, and well, not on site, but actually working from home, and being able to have the motivation to be able to get up every morning and to be able to do the tasks that they're contracted to do, but while not having that collaboration piece of working across the desk from someone else in the office.
Were clients coming to you looking for additional talent and specific skill set to be able to cope?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, obviously, the world quickly changed to go very remotely very quickly, didn't it? I mean, it was sort of, you know, in a couple of months, the whole world had to work remotely. So what surprised me the most was, I know we work in a technology-driven industry and IT, but every client that we dealt with pretty much was set up and ready to go remotely and working from home. Of course, that left challenges open. So obviously, more cyber attacks, you've got more people working at home on loads of different networks all over the country, all over the world. So yeah, of course, their demand for cyber resources has gone up. And also, that's obviously where we come in, and you know, we can offer their support. So for me, the biggest shock was how quickly everyone managed to move from sort of on site in the office to working from home, and everyone engaging from all different parts of the world. So yeah, you know, very impressed with that. And I think Penta has reacted especially well with that towards our clients as well, you know, because before, although we offered a lot of remote support, most of the sort of roles and resources we provided were all on site, all going to customer sites, you know, all working with clients. And very quickly, we've sort of adapted to, you know, 100% working remotely now.
Is there anything that Penta have done particularly well in terms of being able to kind of find the very best talent and be able to offer that to clients?
Yeah, I think, to touch on this point, I think Simon will probably agree. Remote working has predominantly always been a part of the managed solutions team, where they deliver projects to a scope of works, working against SLAs and KPIs, but having task force support customers remotely with troubleshooting support aspects. So one of the new engagements that we had within our service offering, where it's a huge benefit that we are actually a global organisation, is now, because we have to put more trust in resources not actually physically being there, we've got many customers across the Middle East that actually now have talent plugged in all across EMEA that, for example, would be working remotely in South Africa but supporting a project in Dubai. And where this really works well with us and the way that our offices are positioned geographically, we're able to still ensure that 100% compliance is being met for the customer's needs, to ensure that that resource is paying their taxes in their local country while still being able to then maintain the service abroad. So for me particularly, it was something new that we're doing. Yeah. Whereby we would have people positioned in different locations and support the customers in others. Because, you know, I'd say behaviourally, from a customer's perspective, normally when they are looking for professional services and that professional service coming in way of a resource being on site, being able to see what it is that they're investing in and being able to see what they're actually getting from Penta has always been such a key aspect, to be able to sit across a desk from someone and have a conversation. And the way that their dynamics have now changed to, and the world has, to everyone commonly now speaking on Teams or Zoom and all these types of products, to be able to engage with the resources to ensure that their projects can still function is definitely new for my area.
Yeah, and I mean, just touching on that tone and following on, really, from my side, I guess it's great because we can use talent pools in different countries. As Tony said, you know, we can use the South African resource to support a project in Dubai, for example. You know, so where we might lack certain skills due to, you know, the market or the people within country, we can now rely on different talent pools to actually support projects all over the world. So for us, it's about, you know, looking back and using our relationships and the sort of resources that we've worked with for many years from all over the globe, supporting projects wherever we might need that particular skill. So now it's like sort of 100% remote. It's very good to, as I said, rely on the different talent pools and use those skills. I think you'd agree with that, Tone, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the one thing that you can see, especially from the ICT market, is that essentially it's not one of the markets which has significantly suffered through COVID. If anything, because of all of the different industry sectors being so now heavily reliant on tech, if they're not digital, then essentially they're not really going to survive through this global pandemic or perhaps the next one that we may have in a few years to come, because that's the area where organisations have had to sort of perhaps take budget from other areas and actually reinvest into their technology so that their business can continue. You know, I mean, there's so many different aspects in terms of the actual sort of finding talent. Now where you're looking at, you know, a 3-month initial engagement now appears to any resource in the marketplace more so like a 1-month engagement, how that used to look. So the difficulty now for the short-term scope of works is something that is a challenge, because people are now not looking at, you know, the rate more, so to speak. They're looking more for the stability. So the longer-term engagements being 6-month extendable, 12-month extendable, where people are really looking to engage because, you know, with all the uncertainty in the world, they need to ensure they create stable incomes, which is good for the customer, because with long-term engagements, ultimately it gives a greater negotiation around what the rate looks like, because the individual themselves doesn't feel like they're at such a high risk moving into a short-term engagement as opposed to a long-term one.
So the term digital transformation is widely used across the industry. Is there any types of projects that you saw over 2020 that really kind of leaned into that and pushed organisations to really make a business change or change in their business approach?
From my side especially, I would say the majority of the scope of works that we were receiving and the conversations we were having with our customers were around those areas in terms of where they were looking for additional needs. Because, you know, one of the key focuses we had were obviously to maintain the workforce that we had and then look for areas of growth. But we didn't really have to look too far in that respect, because when you're talking about organisations that are going through the digital transformation, the majority of
system integrators, vendors, and these types of companies that we do deal with had skill shortages in those areas because there wasn't such a demand. So when, you know, everyone's jumping up and down and looking for the change, there's only one resource that can make that change, and that's people with their knowledge and coming in to be able to provide that service to the customers.
If you were going to give some tips back to clients as they start to build a profile of the type of people that they need, what would you recommend to a hiring manager? How should they build what the profile should look like of the skills that they need, but also how do they build that? Any tips you can share on business case building internally to make sure that they can get the budget they need to find the very best talent?
Yeah, I mean, for me, from a manager's perspective to a client, they should be going to their business and telling them, you know, obviously they have a project need, whatever the engagement, but I think they have to build it around the skill capability and what the individual will add to the project. You know, if they're going to their business and looking to outsource a role for however long, 6-12 months, what they need to be talking about is the technical capability of the resource and what it will add to the current team and the current project. It's very good to have internal resources, but as we know from the market and the people we deal with, the highly skilled individuals are the sort of outsourced individuals that we can use. So I would say they'd have to do it from a technical aspect where they'd go to the business and they'd build a case around what they can bring to the team. They can start hitting deadlines by utilizing both the outsource and the internal working together as a team. But by bringing in the sort of highly skilled individual, that can help you sort of meet your project deadlines, but also upskill your current internal team as well, you know, and it's more cost effective. If you bring someone in for 6 months that is a highly skilled individual, they can work alongside your internal employees. They can all learn off one another and they can hit their sort of short-term goals by working on their long-term goals with the internal staff. So I would say it's all from the technical aspect and really, you know, getting that talent in as well as the cost-saving side of it.
Are there any kind of particular roles in both your areas where you say that clients are really, there's high in demand and actually really tricky to find the very best talent?
I mean, yeah, from if we're talking individually about my area as cybersecurity, that, you know, there's lots of technical needs at the moment. But for me personally, what I'm seeing on a global level is a shortage of sort of SOC technical security operations center based resources. And this is South Africa, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait. And there's not too many of the highly skilled sort of level 3 technical leads, technical architects that work within security operations centers. So this has become a real big need over the last sort of 6 months for us.
Touching that, I mean, the lucky thing for me in my area in terms of sort of what it does cover, being virtualization, being cloud, being storage, as well as the networking piece. I mean, I'd say if I was to sort of go within any one of those, I'd say the collaboration, an awful lot of demand around 365, those particular areas for customers, as well as obviously, as we touched on earlier, with regards to the transformation and digital transformation piece. I mean, in terms of sort of building the business cases as well, I mean, one thing that I am finding, especially from Penta being a partner to a lot of companies, is the transparency piece. I would say that in order to help sort of key influence within organisations that we've recently become, you know, on their supplier status list with, where we can support them moving forward, I mean, the transparency piece comes in because then, yeah, as long as we can work in an open book way with them, you know, because everyone's feeling margin pressure in the marketplace, they then know what we're charging, what costs are declared and how we operate, that then develops trust. And then you actually do truly become a partner with them, because then, you know, no one's second guessing anyone within that space, you know. And then ultimately the track record that we have in the marketplace, which we've built over the last 22 years, seems to take care of itself, because Penta as a brand and what we've achieved over the 22 years in winning 2 awards from the Queen of England for international enterprise. And, you know, we are a multi-award winning organisation. So when we are knocking on the company's doors in order to let them know what we can showcase, I would actually say 99% of the time we are heard of, we are known through the market, and the rest tends to take care of itself, really. And yes. I mean, then we come on to obviously the benefits of what we provide versus the internal, which, as Simon was touching on, where we're looking at sort of being able to ramp up when required, sort of greater cost control, management of resources that we're actually giving them. And then not only that, additional service offerings. So when, you know, when the economic COVID cloud clears a little bit,
and they're in a greater position once they've had the resource fulfillment from Penta and that professional service, they're then able and in a position after a period of time to be able to hire that resource internally. So then they're creating the longevity of partnership with the individual that they're getting from us as a business.
Yeah, it gives them the flexibility with their hiring as well. That's a good point, Tony, actually. With a contractor, you get a chance to see if you actually need them long-term and if you actually like the resource on a whole as well. So, yeah, of course, you can take them short-term and turn it into an internal resource should it work out. So the flexibility is there as well.
So I guess if we can look ahead for the rest of the year and what that might look like, is there any tips that you would share?
It would be assessing what they have at the moment and where the real skill gaps and technical skills they need in the project. You know, if they assess what they've got and they can identify exactly what they need, and then they can come to us and we can help support them with that. Because if they have a clear understanding of what they need, we can obviously help them. And yeah, just understanding exactly the type of resource they need and where they might fall. Because I think what a lot of customers do is they go to the market pretty quickly to get resources in, and then sometimes it might not necessarily be the right resource they need for the business and things start going wrong. So just really understand the sort of team they've got and where the technical skill gaps come in, because that's really what we want to help with, is helping them find the skills that they can't find themselves, you know?
Yeah, I mean, from my side, in terms of the top tips, I think one of the spaces which we did just touch on is obviously the flexibility side. And I think while we're working in a reactive space during a global pandemic, I would say that we need to maintain and understand that we're dealing with people, you know, and that's one thing that Penta really sort of holds close, you know. So when we are bringing these people into our organisation, they are part of a team. I would also say that understanding their current situation, their circumstances, both personal and professional, because, you know, we're not dealing with a piece of hardware or software, you know. These are individuals that are going to be maintaining and trying to build on their career and trying to take their career to the next level, even while through a global pandemic, you know. And so it's about us actually being in tune with the marketplace and actually being in tune with the individuals that we're speaking with, and not working in a transactional fashion, but having that humility with the people that we're speaking with to still being able to support them. And not every opportunity that we do have come into our business is necessarily, even though, going to be technically a right fit for the individual that wants to go forward. But we have to look at their circumstances and take everything into consideration, because we have to assess the risk that's involved with them starting on a project with a customer. If the project's in a precarious fashion, if their end customer or the end user that's going to be using that service is quite volatile. So we have to do our due diligence as a business to ensure that we are always maintaining the fact that we're supporting someone's livelihood and actually taking it into a comfortable position, as opposed to putting them and their families at risk as well.
And I suppose on that, Tony, if they feel like that, and, you know, we work in that way with them, which we always would, that they're obviously then going to perform better and do a better job as a whole. So everyone's happy.
Yeah, that's great. That's great, guys. That's some fantastic insight that you shared there. And yeah, I really appreciate your time. Tony, Simon, thanks for your time today on the PentaPod. Tune in for the next edition.
Thank you for joining us for the PentaPod. Click subscribe to ensure you don't miss the next episode, and you'll stay up to date across all the latest news and opinion within the digital transformation industry. See you on the next PentaPod.